Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to, or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it's my pleasure to spend some time with you. Thank you for investing some of your valuable lifetime to be with us to learn about strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, or knowledge that could spark your life closer to that ideal life that you desire to create. It is a beautiful spring day here in the Midwest of the United States. We are being spoiled with above-average temperatures. It's a sunny day, and I hope wherever you are that you are appreciating whatever weather you are experiencing. Did you take any action on what you learned last week? It's always good to try something new. You don't get a new result unless you do something new. Tonight, I'm excited to welcome a new guest who has not been with us before on Spark, and I'm excited for the information that he has and the life experience that he is going to be sharing with you tonight, as well as the many tools and strategies that he's used. And so I want to welcome Nick O'Halloran.
Hi, Mel. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for taking
Thank you for having
time.
Me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So it is a beautiful day. It's always a beautiful day to be alive. And so let's get started. Are you ready?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So let's start with sharing a little bit about yourself. Who is Nick?
Well, I have lived 27 years, and I'm originally from Iowa, and you and I have known each other since I was about 13 through the Upward Bound program. And after I graduated high school, I did a couple of years at community college, after which I decided to go towards really what I loved, and that was art in general, and just kind of branch out. And I decided to go to Columbia College in Chicago, where I graduated with my BFA in advertising communications and branched out to a lot of my own individual projects, some which have changed and some which have evolved over those years. And today I find myself in more of the fashion design community, as well as living another passion of mine, which is through billiards and being the captain of a team for the American Pool Association.
Wow. And that's probably not something that was on your list of I want to be or do when I grow up.
That's true. It's something that, like a lot of other things, grew and changed. You know, billiards is something where it started off as kind of a family thing that we would do if we hung out somewhere. You know, and I have two younger brothers and a younger sister, and you know, we're all pretty close in age, so there's a huge level of competitiveness, and it was something where, you know, as I was away from home and we got back together in Iowa, you know, it was something that I practiced, you know, and I, you know, whether it was with my family or friends, it was something I loved to do. And, you know, after a while, I ended up living in a neighborhood called Uptown in Chicago, and I would go to this establishment and, you know, I would just kind of play around, and I met a few people that I didn't know knew each other. And then after a while, I started figuring out that this was kind of a group or a clique, if you will. It ended up that they were on a pool team, and they asked me to join. And, you know, after a few seasons, things on the team shifted, and, you know, people kind of looked to me to kind of take the reins, which I was very, very flattered. And it's been an awesome ride so far.
Well, and while you pursued your degree in that general category, when you were in college, what were you looking to do?
That's a good question, because I didn't start off in advertising communications. I think my number one priority was to kind of get away from Iowa and just kind of try something new, try something exciting. And I knew that, you know, I feel like I'm a lucky person because I've gotten so many signals and signs in my life that said, you know, between my illustration skills, my presentation skills, my acting skills, and my communication skills, there's so much that could be done with that. And so when I started off at Columbia, I actually started off in the film directing program. And within a semester's time, I went from, well, I really love movies. I really love acting. I could really be a director. And then I said, well, you know what? I have to draw. I have to incorporate art. I could be an art director. And then I said, you know, I started talking to people in the advertising department. And, you know, between that and illustration, and I said, I don't really feel like I need a degree to tell me that I can draw well. I feel I can draw well now, but I'd love to work on my skills in marketing and sales and communication as a whole. And so that's kind of where that brought me.
Which is a point on to make about the journey of living life. Sometimes we start out with a general direction. We know we want to go north, south, east, or west, or we want to go into
mm-hmm.
art, business, or computers. And
mm-hmm.
as long as we're open to the experiences that we have, then we often, as you said, there were a lot of signs, a lot of things that happened that began to point you into a particular direction. And I will have to say, from the time that I met you, I rarely saw you without a drawing pad, a pen, a pencil, that was just a part, it's like breathing for you.
Yeah, you know, and here again, I think back in my life, you know, I was one of those lucky kids because I feel like nearly every single child at some point in their young life starts off with a piece of paper and some crayons. And every single parent, you know, might hang that piece up on the fridge and really, you know, wow their kid. I'm not sure what happened, but I thank God it did. And it just, like, it stuck with me. And all through, you know, every single grade, as I grew and progressed, I continued that interest, that passion. And at the time, I wasn't happy whenever Christmas or my birthday rolled around and all I got was a drawing pad and, you know, crayons or, you know, colored pencils. But, you know, now that I look back at it, it was because of that nurturing of that passion that really brought me to where I am today. And still today, I don't carry around like a gigantic, you know, 11x17 pad of paper, but I have a little black book that I usually carry with me, even to, you know, pool league, if we go to a random bar, because you never know when inspiration is going to hit. And for me, it's just something like if you have an idea or you just want to, you know, sketch something down or if you want to pass the time, you know, it's a way in which I can regularly get that out. And it's brought me only good things in my life.
Well, and I realize that I neglected to review our topic for tonight, which is sparks and living your passion and being paid for it. Because so often, and we've talked about on past segments of sparks, that we have people in our lives, often well-meaning people, sometimes mean-spirited people, but often well-meaning people who tell us things like, be practical, you'll never make money doing that. And people, as they go through their life, often go back to those things they love to do, whether in their work life or in their hobby or avocation. And right now, with people feeling insecure, either maybe having lost jobs or concerned they may be losing their job, it's a good time to reflect on what direction do I want to go next, because it can be a wonderful time to take a look at what is it you love, what are your passions. And so I wanted to talk, Nick, about how did you start your journey to really live your passions, to have more of your passions in your life?
Well, you know, at the end of my college career, I had gone through a couple of, you know, small mentorships, worked for a couple of small companies, doing various different types of design. And I had a colleague with whom I was starting a small project. It was a magazine project. And we had a few people with us. And, you know, I was doing all the art directing, all the graphic design, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And not only did I enjoy the idea of really building up a community, I mean, because this project was going to be focused on the immediate Chicago community, I enjoyed the aspect of having a business that I was so closely tied to. You know, I mean, I enjoyed working for other companies, but this was something a little bit different. And I of course, really enjoyed the idea of not just being in control creatively, but feeling in control of your destiny overall. And I think that's something that, as you said before, you know, a lot of people might be in a 9-to-5 job. I still work, you know, a regular job on the side, you know, and they might say, well, you know, it's so secure, and it's kind of a subconscious thing. But once we begin to recognize that, it becomes very easy to just go in that kind of direction. So, you know, having changed a bit of a direction, I happened upon a few ads that said, you know, we're a national company, we do t-shirt design, we'd love to see your artwork, and send it in, we'll talk. And so I did that, and it's opened me up to a huge new circle of people, whether they're other artists and, you know, they utilize me to kind of take their designs and arrange them in a composition on, you know, a pair of jeans, a dress, a shirt, what have you. Or if it's my own designs and I'm doing that. So I think this is really kind of the universe working in perfection, is as you go towards your passions and you have a general idea, the what, if you will, not the how, but the what. And the how for me is sharing myself, sharing my artwork with the world. And I can't, you know, it's not productive to say this is exactly how I want it to happen, because it's not how things work. So it's, I mean, for me, it's taking a hold of the rope on the bus and, you know, letting it guide you wherever it may go.
Which is a wonderful point, and once you do get clear on what your passions are, which the Passion Test is a great tool to help you do that, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, because Nick has done the Passion Test. And for those of you listening, if you have not, you are welcome to visit our website, which is www.brainfinanza.com. Click on the Passion Test to learn more about it. There are many ways you can access the Passion Test, whether it's through the book or the online Passion Test online, through one-on-one coaching, or through seminars. And in Nick's situation, we had really not connected since he graduated from high school. And we found each other, I don't remember if it was through Facebook, I think maybe, and reconnected. And some interesting things began to happen. And as Nick said, when things work in perfection, you believe that timing is perfect. And you're open to how things are coming to you rather than trying to control all of the how. And so some awesome opportunities to learn came to Nick, and he took advantage of those. And so I want to talk about one of those, which was the passion test. And Nick, can you think back to when we first talked about that and your first experience with the passion test? How did that influence your thinking?
Well, you know, I say this lightly, I have a little bit of, you know, ADD when it comes to the things that I do and the projects that I do, because I may work on, you know, multiple projects at one time, which is not always conducive to a productive productive atmosphere. And so what the passion test for me did was it concisely put into focus five items or five things that I really wanted to focus on at that time. Now, of course, this is something that is organic. It should be organic. It's going to change all the time. But what it starts to do is it starts to really make you ask the question to yourself, what do I really want to do in my life? I love the question, if you were to find out that you were going to pass away in a year and you had to make money somehow, what would you do? My instant answer to that is sell drawings. And, I mean, that's just, you know, one way of putting it. So the passion test for me really consolidates focus, and it makes it that much stronger for anybody, whether it's, you know, a relationship you want to have, a job you want to do, a business you want to own, whatever you want. Just make sure that you're really asking yourself and you're really being honest with yourself with these answers.
Very well said. And it needs to come from your heart, because I'd asked you, you know, what changed in your thinking. But like for most people, it's, you know, often, well, yeah, I want to be a millionaire. Well, is it that you want to enjoy the process of making money or you want financial security? And really, they're two different things. And, you know, if you can do what you love, I mean, some people like to make money just because it's pure enjoyment to earn money. Like you would be selling drawings. I would be teaching and coaching people. Those are my passions. And really beginning to get clear on that what. And once you do that, then being open to coming up with what does it look like when you're living that passion. And that's where you start to have some fun.
Yes. You know, I don't want to directly reference books. I'm not sure if we can. We should have talked about this, but
yes, you can, because people are looking for what works for other people. So if you're sharing books and resources and websites that have been helpful for you that other people might find helpful, that'd be great.
So one of the books that I finished a couple of months ago was Harmonic Wealth by James Arthur Ray. Oh, my God. I think I messed up his name.
No, it's Arthur Ray.
Okay. So, and one of the things he mentions from somebody was, don't become a millionaire for the little green slips of paper. Do it for the process of who you're going to become. And just on top of that as well, something that Jack Canfield once said was, money is just a type of energy that's going to amplify who you are. And when he learned that, he actually focused not on the money, but instead making himself a better person and amplifying that. And you know what? Everybody, you know, wants that financial security. I think that it's important. You have to help yourself before you can help others. but do it for the right reasons. And really, you know, to me, it's about reaching people, touching other souls, however it may be, whether it's through, you know, any kind of acting, any kind of, you know, maybe science, and it's a product and you've helped all these people. You know, the energy will come when that comes through.
And it's fascinating, and it's rewarding as I share this journey with Nick, because when we reconnected, I'm not sure he was as avid a reader then as he's become on this journey to truly live his passion.
Not of nonfiction.
What?
Not of nonfiction, and that's very true. I did read, you know, a lot of my medieval fictional books, which I found, you know, somewhat mentally stimulating. But that's a great point. And I know it sounds really generic. At least it does now, you know, a couple of years after the fact. But you know what? Between the passion test and the law of attraction and introducing this to me, it was life-changing. And because when we first met, Melanie, and it's interesting because I had an online conversation with Nikki Kelch through Facebook, and you know, she put out on her status, you know, I wonder what would help me be a more positive person. And about, you know, 15 different people had 15 different replies. And, you know, after a couple of my replies, she said, wow, you've really changed from the angry 15-year-old that I remember in high school. And, you know, so, yes, I have absolutely taken the choice to absorb different types of information.
And when you're willing to do that and to just be open to learn what's out there and compare and decide for yourself what works, what are you starting to see patterns of, and being open to something bigger? Because even a couple of years ago, we reconnected, there was a lot of cynical and sometimes humorous but negative perspectives about things. Can you talk a little bit about how you shifted your language and your self-talk around being more positive and how that's made a difference?
Absolutely. Between, you know, having interactions with people who maybe I did some work for, and, you know, I might have said something to the effect of, I hope to pay on time, you know, with that kind of tone and that kind of mentality, what that is it's an inner fear that they're not going to pay, and it's a feeling of lack. It is a feeling of fear, and it's the same kind of energy that's actually going to push away what you want. In terms of any kind of politics, you know, I'm very well read on this, and I understand the different types of power structures going on. And if you were to get me on a rant at that time, it would have gone on for a while. So the biggest thing that I had to do was recognize, you know, when that happens, just kind of, it's kind of like a meditation. Stand back and allow those thoughts to come out and just recognize them and say, okay, where is this coming from? And really, what is this going to do for me? And if it's not going to do any good, what is it doing here? If you happen to be around environments where you come out of it just feeling low energy, where it's resentful, or environments where you might showcase a talent and people don't really appreciate it that much, at least the one positive that comes out of that is recognition. You can say, okay, now that I've experienced what I don't want, what in my mind is the opposite of this? And write that down. Write it down and picture it. And hold that picture and thought and feeling in your mind. Because as you do that, whether you want to be spiritual or scientific, your subconscious mind is invariably going to draw you towards the things that you're thinking of most. Not the things you want or don't want, the things of which you think the most.
Well, we talk about what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life.
Yes.
And that's from the Passion Test. We also talk about the reticular activating system of the brain and how that structure searches to make whatever you believe, emotionally, thought, whatever you believe, that it will find evidence to support your belief. So, like you said, whether it's spiritual, scientific, probably both, that's often why it's referred to as a law. Whether you use it consciously and are aware of it or not, it works in your life. And so often people will say, I don't want this. But what do they think about? They think about what they don't want, hence there's your magnet or your attraction of getting more of what you don't want. And so,
don't think of a pink elephant.
Yes, I still use don't think of a pink elephant. I do it from time to time here on Spark. Matter of fact, I've done it the last 2 weeks in class teaching and continuing education because it's very powerful. The brain has challenges visualizing not stuff. How do you not see things? So once you begin to get that, and with Nick, with your artwork, I recall when we started talking about markers for your passions, what shows up when you're truly living your passions, yours became visual very, very quickly.
Absolutely. You know, just going back to when I first watched the video, The Secret, and, here again, this is one of the reasons why I'm so thankful for, you know, programs like Upward Bound and your mentoring early, because even as a younger kid, from the ages of, you know, maybe 13 to 17, you know, I was always told, Nick, you can choose how you feel. Nobody makes you angry. Well, I didn't really get it until I was like 17 and a half, 18-ish. And then, you know, when I started telling other people that, I didn't purposely do things to make them angry. But when I told them that, they were like, that's BS, whatever. You know, so when I watched The Secret, at first, you know, I was interested. I was like, well, you know what, this isn't necessarily a completely new concept to me. But I remember specifically watching the feng shui consultant, and I forget her name right now, and she talked about meeting an art director. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I started off school as an art director, you know. And she mentioned that he, in his apartment, had 7 different paintings of individual women with their back turned to him, looking aloof, you know, turning away, and she immediately said, I think you have a problem in your relationships. To which the guy responded, what are you, clairvoyant? How do you know that? She goes, look at all these pictures you have in your immediate space. And he said, but I that can't be. I painted these myself. And she goes, that's even worse because you infused your energy into this idea. And, you know, she asked him what he wanted. He said he wanted to date more women. She goes, paint it, okay? Long story short, everything that he painted ended up happening, okay? And I watched that, and I said, okay, well, I'm a pretty good artist, and I have a billiards match tonight, so let's put this into work. And so I drew myself very, very sketchily. I took a pen, and I sketched it out. You could barely even notice it was me. Winning a game of pool, I had the 8 ball, not just, you know, on the corner, but in a specific angle, you know, and I was at a specific angle on the table. And what I was doing was sending out a signal to my subconscious mind and or the universe. And I was putting energy into that. And that's something that was, you know, I said, my mind expects to see this. Sure enough, my first game that night, it happened. And I thank God for that, because it's revelations like that and recognition like that that changes a life instantly. So yes, from there on in, I'm a huge supporter of vision boards, dream posters, if you will. And I'm so happy and thankful that I can incorporate my own illustration, my work with Photoshop, into any of these types of things. And since then, I've done, pictures for friends. You know, they said, hey, can you, you know, put my face on here and kind of make it look realistic, or, you know, what have you. And, you know, it's gratifying to see their face light up. And, you know, that's something where maybe I'm not getting paid a lot for it, but the energy that comes back to me is something that says I'm on the right path. And it's that kind of thing that I think sustains us all in the long run.
That is such a powerful story to share. And I think, too, when you just mentioned that having that personal experience with that visualization, whether it's a meditation visual image of you driving that cobalt blue Mustang convertible, that'd be me, and what it feels like with the top down and waving at friends, and how that feels, to actually having that experience happen in your life. It's really, really powerful. And you also mentioned about getting paid or not getting paid much. And I think initially a lot of the work that you were doing around your graphic art was work that you were not paid for to start with. And then you were doing some contract work, I believe, or individual project work. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So, the first few projects out of college especially, they were good in that they didn't want to just pay me nothing, even as a student. You know, but they said, well, you know, it's commensurate with how much we sell, and, you know, it's a commission. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm looking for the experience first, and, you know, I'm happy to be paid. And, you know, with the T-shirt business, you know, it was something where, yes, I got in very easily, and I was thankful for it because, you know, when I look around me, not a whole lot of people have that kind of opportunity. So that's what I was most thankful for. But it's all based on sales. And it's something where, you know, yes, we have a national reach, but it takes a little bit of time to put things together, which is okay. It's something that I get to learn a process of. And as kind of a perfectionist in my work, I want to make sure that the product that comes back to me is something that I would wear and I would want somebody else to wear. And so that has, you know, taken its time. But in that process, in that time, has come more opportunities that I would not even have dreamed of if you could have asked me to dream of, and opportunities that are just out of this world. And, you know, I do a lot of work in concentrating on patience, concentrating on the goal of that end objective. It's tough for a pool player to let go of the end objective. You know, because everybody's got a concrete vision in their mind. But in the end, we have to trust the source and say, I'm a product of you. I was made in perfection. We all were. And things will turn out in perfection. So
that's powerful, because that how, when we get ourselves wrapped up in that, you know, to know that while we think we know the best route, sometimes the reason that we have to have the flat tire or the reason that we take the wrong turn is because there's something better.
Yes.
And so when we trust it, it always takes us to something better. That lesson, it takes us to something better. It's very, very powerful. Doing things that you may not get a big paycheck for example, but get you exposure. gets you connected. I can do this because I can help you, and maybe somewhere down the road you can help me. I think about the project that you're working on with the illustrations with Lisa.
Oh, yes.
You and Lisa probably never would have connected. And yet when you're finished with this project, there's going to be a lot of national exposure with her program.
That's fantastic, too, Melanie. And that I want to touch on that for another second. If you had told me a little while ago that I would be doing illustrations for children in an educational environment, I probably would have thrown a heavy book at you.
And I would have.
I would not, and you would have ducked. No, and but honestly, I would not have believed it. And just in terms of that individual project, to be able to influence a future generation is an amazing concept. To be able to, and even if those kids never know my name, ever, it's one of the first few things that they consciously register in their lives. That's huge. You know, and you know what? If the royalties come, great. That's great. You know, but one way or another, they'll come.
That's right. And I think that's it. Sometimes our acknowledgement is indirect. And the satisfaction and the reward and the another piece of experience in your portfolio and all of those things are important. And each of those steps, the timing of the different projects, the illustrations with Lisa, the logo design with me, the being into the fashion industry, there's so many things, and there's steps. And being open to doing those things and still having that focus on passion. I wanted to share with you, I'm going to throw the number out because we've got about 22 minutes left. So if you've got a question or comment for Nick or for me, we invite you to give us a call at 347-215-8390 or to type a note in our chat. And there's something I need to share with you, Nick, that is currently in the web chat. Before I do that, we are going to come back, too, and talk a little bit about taking that step to get paid for doing what you love, because sometimes you can barter services, which is what Nick and I had done. I bartered coaching for his knowledge about advertising marketing, the logo design, the work that we've done that way. And I am very committed to networking people together who can have that mutually beneficial relationship with one another. And that's rewarding for me. And I've gotten connected with people same way. Someone had a great experience with work that I had done, and now we're connecting. And it's amazing how synchronicity works. Those of you who are regular listeners, when I was interviewing Rita Emmett, and she brought up a book to a caller, and the caller said, well, no, I hadn't read the book Angela's Ashes, but my husband's reading it right now. And later Rita said to me, that's synchronicity. The book is 10 years old, and what are the odds that that would happen? So amazing things happen when you begin to focus on those passions and what you love and keeping that in your life. Nick, what's in the chat, Robin wanted to share with you that when she talked to you last, you had asked her about goals and that she was talking about a Toyota. And you had shared with her what you had just shared here, which was to get a picture of herself with that Toyota.
You're right.
And she, I asked her if she looks at the picture often and feels how great it is to be driving a Toyota, and if she has it yet. And she does not. She's still working on it, but she did want you to know that she has put her energy into photoshopping the picture because you suggested it to her.
Excellent.
She also adds that she looks at it when she feels like she has a roadblock in her path or is uncertain of how to get around it, And I was about to add to that a suggestion about every day. See yourself driving that beautiful car, your beautiful Toyota, and that vision of being behind the driver's seat. You start noticing every time you pass them. And really, not just when you have the roadblock, but putting that positive energy into that image. That would be my comment to Robin. Nick, what would you add?
I would add, first and foremost, understand that any kind of goal that you may have, it's not that you are worthy of that goal. It's that that goal is worthy of you. And think about, you know, not just having a car or a number on your bank account. Think about the things that that enables. For Robin, it's driving. Oh, my God, I brain farted on his name. I know I'm going to remember it in 5 minutes because I'm telling my subconscious to. Driving your child in your car, you know, having a nice, new, safe car. It's being able to pay for special, you know, extracurricular classes for your children, or being able to live in a wonderful, gigantic house, or, you know, all the little things that go along with the one benefit. You know, for me and my black-on-black 2008 Infiniti G37S, it's the freedom, pure and simple, the freedom to go where I want to, especially, you know, a nice, easy 6.5-hour drive home, probably about 4.5 hours the way I drive, to see my family and friends back home, and the feeling of, you know, owning your own car, your own house, your own business, you know, just, and how many people are you going to help because you have this newfound benefit in your life?
Robin has added, his name is Jude.
Jude.
I'm sorry, Robin.
But,
you know, it's one of those things that wasn't on the list of questions as we were talking about preparing for the call. So it would have come. She was just being helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Hard to get to clinicals for school, and that it represents a whole slew of things for her. And it is a shift in your thought process around, you know what, it is possible. It's the belief and the knowing that it's possible. Because
absolutely.
You say, well, I'll never have this, or, you know, that's for other people, then that's the life that we create. And so having the support, and I think that that's important, is having people in your life who are positive, coaches, mentors, friends who are encouraging you, who are supporting you, whether it's the using positive language, doing the vision board, focusing on what you want. Coaches help you do that. Mentors help you do that. To hold you accountable in your language choice. And we all need that from time to time because we're so overwhelmed with all of the demands on us in our lives, especially those of us who are parents. And that in addition to the other responsibilities that we have. And so thanks, Robin, for typing that in and addressing, you know, taking that action. I know that my Cobalt Blue Mustang convertible is on its way to. I'm being very patient and very excited for it to show up.
Absolutely.
And again, part of the problem, and Nick brought up, when he rattled off that car, I mean, a lot of that doesn't mean anything to me, but it's very, very specific for him. And I think I just have to say I want 2 Cobalt Blue Mustang convertibles, one that's a classic 66. And then I'll take a current. I'll take a, you know, 2006. Because I've been waffling back and forth, and so it's like, well, heck, no wonder I don't have the Mustang, because I can't make up my mind. So you know what? I'll just decide I want a book. So,
it's a very good point, because if you can't make up your own mind on anything, somebody else will, and 10 times out of 9, you're not going to be happy with those results.
Do you realize you just said 10 times out of 9?
Yes, I did. I said that on purpose. Every single time, you're going to be unhappy with somebody else's choice for your life. No stuttering. I mean, only articulation.
So we have, believe it or not, only 15 minutes left. And so, and Nick had mentioned earlier in our call that some of us, and Nick included, has a 9-to-5 job. And what do you enjoy what you do in that 9-to-5 job? Enjoy some of us doing that 9-to-5 job?
You know what? There are a lot of positive aspects to my job, and I'll go over those. I work in an outsourced sales company where we work with other companies, and we focus primarily on sales, and they manage those sales. In other words, my client is Aramark, and they do the refreshment services. So I set appointments for the representatives I have in New York. You know, a lot of the positives are there's people around my age, anywhere from 24 to 30, and I'm right in the middle of that. And, you know, so it's a very energetic, very positive, very competitive atmosphere, and those are things that I feed on. You know, and of course, you've got the health benefits, the vacation benefits, things of that nature. And as it is, you know, I do a lot of drawing while I call, you know. So it's a nice little motivational piece for me to continue to get myself out there as much as possible while being thankful for the job I do have. Because here's the thing. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have, and it might be the most horrible, crummiest job in the world, in your opinion. If you can't be thankful for what you have now, what makes you think what you really want is going to make you that happy and come along in your life? And that's a question I try to pose to a lot of people, because there are a lot of people out there that whatever kind of situation they're in, whether it's health or money, or jobs, you know, to somebody, you know, in a different position, they might think that that person has everything, and yet that person can only complain. And so my first question to them would be, well, what's going good in your life? And then, you know, once you start putting yourself in that attitude of gratitude, you begin to realize, wow, you know what? There are a lot of great things going on in my life. And guess what? You've made that shift, and things will begin to pop up for you in a positive manner.
Gratitude is extremely powerful. It's a very high energy, high vibration emotion, and that's a very powerful idea as well, that when you are feeling negative and you're complaining and everything's wrong, what are you sending out? Negative and complaining, everything's wrong. When you're focusing on, I'm grateful that I have these things, and I'm grateful that better things are on their way. You know, play the appreciation game every day. That's something from a tool from the Passion Test, where, you know, what are 5 things you appreciate every day? Even better, 5 different things every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you start the day in the morning with, you know, I hope to accomplish these things or something better. Do you end your day with, I'm grateful that I, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just challenging the way that you think, because we do tend to get sucked into the negative, especially right now when the news media is so focused on the negative. You know, do what you can to, whether it's a mastermind group, whether it's a coach, whether it's connecting with positive friends, to focus on those blessings. I think the idea of, and I really do like this phrase that inspired me one day, which was to inhale blessings and exhale gratitude. So as you breathe in, you think about all the things that you're blessed with, and then as you exhale, express that feeling of gratitude for those. You know, the blessings of the opportunities that we have to be together here on Spark and to share those ideas.
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that that's the biggest reason that, you know, I'm thankful that we connected a while ago. you know, I always knew that I wanted to lend my services to these kind of ideas, whether it was yours or anyone else's company, Melanie. And it's something that, because we don't get enough of it anywhere. And when you combine that with a strong teaching ethic that just interlaces so many other different theories, it becomes a very, very positive, powerful tool. And I feel like it's something that, you know, people are really searching for right now.
And I think you're right in that the messages are coming through so many different writers, so many different venues, whether it's science, whether it's spirituality, whether it's people who are, the ministers, the scientists, the speakers, the trainers, the authors, whether it's James Arthur Ray or John DeMartini or Joe Vitale or Field, the messages are very, very similar. Why? Because the underlying law is the same. The idea about that law of attraction, that we get what we think about. Might be because, you know, thoughts become things. Choose the good ones. You know, and as Wayne Dyer, another favorite author that I quote often, says, you cannot feel badly enough to make someone else feel good. And you cannot be hungry enough to make someone else feel full. You cannot be sick enough to make someone else feel healthy. So if you choose to be the best you that you can be, because you are the only one who is gifted to do that, because nobody else can be Robin or Paul or Lisa or Nick or any of my other wonderful listeners, because you have the skill set, the life experience that's unique to you. And when you offer those gifts to the world in service to other people, not only do you feel more joy, but the world is better. And as Nick said earlier, one of the benefits of being financially secure is then you can employ other people, spend money to help other people. So everybody is better when you're better. It's that, you know, when you want to change, how does that go? Be the change you wish to see in the world. I think that's Gandhi.
Yes.
And so to really, we've got 7 minutes left, Nick, and I want to talk a little bit about, for those people who are still sitting there saying, but, okay, now I have some ideas of how to get clear on what's most important to me right now. What I can find the Passion Test book. I can go to brainbonanza.com. I can email Melanie at brainbonanza@gmail.com. But let's say that I still am not sure that I can get paid for it. What about that doubt? Because I think you've discovered through the steps that have happened to you that people will pay you for your art and your design.
Yes. So
how are you building on that? Because that is one of the markers for you, I do believe, is having your own design company.
Yes, absolutely. I am a firm believer of daily meditation, and I try to do it at least twice a day, and affirmations. One of my affirmations is, millions of people love my artwork, and millions of people will pay me. Millions of people happily pay me for my artwork. And I affirmed that to a friend of mine, and he kind of laughed at me. He said, you don't know millions of people. I said, yes, I do. Because everything we do in any kind of aspect in life ripples out. Or let me put it this way, in terms of my artwork, you know, if I show it to maybe a person and they say, wow, I really like this, and I can say, all right, I've already got an understanding of what kind of, you know, maybe market segment or demographic they are instantly. You know, I'm not just thinking of that one person. I'm thinking of hundreds of thousands of people. You take that times, you know, 20 or 30, what have you got? Millions of people. And I want to encourage everybody to, you know, think of something they really want in life, whether it's an attitude, a way of thinking, communicating, whatever, and write it down in an affirmation and say, I happily and easily communicate wonderfully with my children. Make it kind of rhythmic.
And make it present tense. I really do want to emphasize, you need to state it as it's happening right now.
Yes.
And that's what makes it very powerful, because then that becomes, you're believing it's right now, and that particular activating system of your brain, God, the universe, the quantum field, whatever you believe that's bigger than you, then begins to work and pull you towards it or bring it to you, whichever way you want to look at that. But the present tense is very important, and I had someone in class Monday night who said, but that's not true. I said, well, if you don't believe it's true, I said, how about if you're telling the truth in advance? And she looked at me and she thought, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've got that conflict, like, well, I can't say that I'm, you know, millions of people are paying me for my artwork, because that's not true yet. So it is true. It's true. It's on its way to happening. It's being created. Every event is lining up to create that for you. And
absolutely. And that's kind of where that, it's kind of where that idea of knowing or faith comes in. Because if we didn't have that knowing or faith, we really wouldn't have all these wonderful skyscrapers around us. We wouldn't have these athletes that are busting records every single year. We wouldn't have these scientists that are coming up with products that absolutely revolutionize any kind of industry you can think of. It's that knowing, and that's where that comes from. You might say, well, you know, we've never had a man land on the moon before. You might be saying, oh, I'm going to make a man land on the moon, but it's not going to happen. Well, it happened, as an example.
And the people who did it, the ones who didn't think it would happen, probably didn't stay involved in that project very long. You have people who are committed to, yes, we can make this happen, and we're just going to figure out the best way to do it.
Yes.
So we've got 2 minutes left, Nick, and there's so much more that we could share. You talked about meditating a couple times a day. There are some great resources available, whether it's from Learning Strategies, to Paul Sheely's company. I think you're also working with the Holosync technology. Is that Bill Harris?
Yes, and oh my Lord, it's amazing. The reason I really like it, and I think it's a great, you know, business, is because I get a lot of different CDs from him, you know, every 2 weeks. The latest CD, so essentially what this is, and I'm going to talk a little bit fast, hopefully not that long-winded. What this does is it combines different types of sound technology that activates both the left and the right side of the brain. And it puts your mind in that delta and then theta brainwave, where it actually accelerates the effects of deep meditation. And that allows you to get a little bit more clear in your mind. You also get all the benefits of meditation, and that is, you know, you feel more energetic, you're a happier, calmer person. You know, both your sides of the brain are firing on all pistons. And just recently I got a CD with a different type of sound technology, where the sound actually sounds as though it's around you, as opposed to inside your head. You know, like it literally sounds like a fly is buzzing around your ears. I mean, just things like that. So that's something that I incorporate. But, I would challenge anybody, even if you don't want to buy a CD, a single CD, sit in a room by yourself with nothing for 15 minutes and then 30 minutes and then an hour. And sit there in silence and keep your eyes closed. And, you know, even if you do something like Japa, which Wayne Dyer uses, you know, it's, you're repeating the sound of God through ah, and keeping yourself in the gap, if you will, or just, you know, the silence.
And I'm going to add, Nick, for those people who think 15 minutes is too long, start with 2.
Then sure. Yeah, absolutely.
5, you know, start in baby steps if you need to, but it's very, very powerful. It's Holosync technology. If you Google Bill Harris or Holosync, you probably find his website, right?
That's correct.
I had somebody just ask me, what was that called again?
Yes, Holosync.
Yeah, I left that a lot. Holosync, Holosync. Well, we've got about 25 seconds left. I want to say, Nick, thank you so much for sharing your story, your experiences with my listeners, and I hope to have you back again. I'd like to continue discussing this journey you're on if you're interested.
Absolutely, Mel. Thank you for this opportunity. I love having these conversations with you. It's good to have this kind of venue where you're focused on the possibilities and the positivities.
Thanks, Nick. And to all of you, I hope you can take an action on something that you learned this week. And I look forward to you joining us again with more guests, more sparks to help you create the life you desire and deserve. Until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.